Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. We have a special guest today in our first segment, Ernie C. DeBaca, the president and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. Ernie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be here.
Hey, I'd first like you to tell us all about the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce, how your membership works, the resources and things you have available to business people that are part of your organization.
Well, thank you. And if you don't mind, I'm going to take the whole program and just discuss that.
Jim, okay, that's fine.
So here's the deal. 45 years ago in May, 14 individuals formed the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. Little did they know that we would grow to be, by budget, the largest chamber in New Mexico and one of the very largest Hispanic chambers in the United States. We currently have about 1,000 members. We have a convention and tourism department, a membership department. We have something called the Borellis Economic Opportunity Center. Our mission is all about economic development, economic vitality, workforce training for small businesses here in Albuquerque and New Mexico. But frankly, Jim, we have members. We're called the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber, but we're really the Hispano Chamber.
Yes.
And why I mean that is we go far beyond our borders. We actually, one of our members is Square in the Bay Area. We have members on the East Coast. Guzman Energy in Florida is a member. So we're all over the country, actually. And so our mission is small business, because scaling and helping small business grow is really what's important for New Mexico's economy. And that's what we're all about. We like to call ourselves the Small Business Chamber here in New Mexico.
Well, and Ernie, I know that since you've taken control of that organization and even a little bit before that, you also have a lot of non-Hispanic business owners that are members, and you really support small business, period, in this community. And the fact that you are so effective with people of different cultures and you understand that, and your leadership, and what we're going to be talking about today is you don't just collect membership dues. You are actually actively working in our community for the betterment of our businesses. And part of the thing that you have a challenge with is when these politicians start sticking their nose into our business, if you'll allow me to make that comparison, I've never seen politics ever get themselves involved in business and that be a good thing. Would you agree?
Well, generally speaking, that could be the case. But thank you for mentioning, Jim. We are 60% Hispanic members, 40% non-Hispanic. We have a lot of, that's why I say we like to call ourselves a small business chamber here in Albuquerque and New Mexico. And, generally speaking, regulation, especially when you have regulation that hurts small businesses, that's very difficult for them to even want to be in business and encourage them to continue to be in business. So one of my beefs about what's going on right now is the fact that we all know, and we've been saying this for years and years and years, we are too dependent on the federal government, and we're too dependent on oil and gas, and we need to diversify our economy. Well, the last thing you want to do is put more burden on small businesses in Albuquerque or in the state, for that matter, than our neighboring states and cities that we compete with for jobs. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And we need to do the opposite. We need to find ways to incentivize people to grow their business, their small business in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's really a misnomer when we talk about small business. Generally, the SBA defines that as 500 or less employees. And we all know, Jim, 500 employees in New Mexico is not a small business.
That's a big company.
So it's a big company. And so anyway, these counselors, I know them. I think they're well intended, but the unintended consequences create really difficult situation for our small businesses here in Albuquerque, who are devastated from this COVID pandemic. You know, it is probably the worst time you could add more burden on a small business right now.
Well,
you can't find a worse time.
Yeah, Ernie, let's clarify. Obviously, you are working every day, probably with desperate situations over the last 2 months during this COVID. So now we finally start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and the Albuquerque City Council now, and I believe tonight, is discussing a paid sick leave ordinance. But I'm reading also that there is another consideration for a hazard pay proposal. So I just want to ask you, our audience is largely a faith-based audience. You know, every ethnicity you can think of, but the majority of the folks that listen to this program especially are people that have faith in Christ. And they are people that I like to ask to take action. So as our listeners are listening today, I want you to take the information that Ernie is providing. We're not telling you what to tell your city councilors, but Ernie, you're going to provide us with some data and some things to tell us how this paid sick leave ordinance and maybe even how the hazard pay proposal will affect small businesses in our community that are desperately trying to come back from this COVID deal. So tell us, how will the paid sick leave ordinance impact Hispanic-owned businesses and business in general?
Well, first of all, and thank you, let me just announce this, that there is a coalition of organizations that is opposing this, and there's well over 25. And we're trying to get people to come to Civic Plaza at 2 o'clock today to kind of rally for the opposition of this. So if anybody's listening and would like to join people in opposition to these ordinances, please stop by Civic Plaza today. The city council actually is going to begin their meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon, so people are going to be at the Civic Plaza at 2 o'clock. Let me just say this. The sick leave is not needed right now because the Families First Coronavirus Response Act passed by the federal government is taking care of that. So there's no need to pile on right now. And so they're being taken care of with that. And it's a great thing the federal government did because, as everybody knows, we don't want sick people going to work. At the same time, let me just say what's really tough on small businesses is overbearing regulation. Small businesses, as you know, Jim, they need the flexibility to stay in business. They also need great employees. And because of that, they take care of their employees. For the most part, small business people take care of their employees because those employees are needed for that business to succeed. And so I've heard so many stories as the president of the Hispanic Chamber about how small businesses go the extra yard. They may not have a policy that's regulated in place for paid sick leave, but they do things for their employees, not because it's regulated, but it's the right thing to do. They take action when people lose loved ones. They take action when they can't meet payroll. They'll actually sell their own personal vehicles. They will do things to help the employees of small business. And to put a regulatory burden on them, especially at this time, the people that are trying to pass this, say that other entities are doing this at the same time, other cities. But they say it's like Los Angeles or San Francisco or Portland. Those people, their economies are so much different than Albuquerque's. They are not dependent, as we are, on oil and gas and the federal government. As we all know, California has the fifth or sixth largest economy in the entire world. For us to be in comparison to any of those cities is just not even right. So we just need to take things smartly here in Albuquerque and not pass these things, and in fact look for ways to help these small businesses prosper. So the hazard pay you know, I hear things have been, you know, amended to make things a little more palatable. They're not palatable. Anytime you add a cost and a regulatory burden on a small business, you're putting salt on a really big wound right now because of the pandemic. There couldn't be a worse time, Jim. Just drive up and down Central right now. Mm-hmm. Look at the boarded businesses because of the riot and other things. And you'll see the Range Cafe closing, one of the ranges, other businesses closing that you know they're staples. Most businesses have just a short amount of revenue available to them if they're not in business. I mean, they only have a couple of months if you can survive. There is, you know, let me just read something from the Financial Times today. The typical small business only has enough cash reserves to cover 2 weeks of costs in lieu of any revenues. I mean, you know, small businesses, they bank on their customers coming in on a routine basis. And when you shutter their doors, they have no revenue. And you can see on TV and other places where small businesses try to take care of their employees before they even take care of themselves. So yes, it's just a difficult situation right now, Jim. It's just horrible to be doing this at this time.
Well, and Ernie, over the past couple of years here in New Mexico, there's been legislation passed, rules passed for businesses that are already affecting small business. For example, if you work more, if you are a full-time employee working, what, 30 hours or more in a given week, then you're entitled to benefits and some other kinds of things. So I know so many employers that would like to hire their entry-level jobs, but they want to hire people at $10 an hour, but they will not give anybody over 29 hours because then they have to provide a whole bunch of other very expensive benefits. So they have all kinds of part-time employees rather than being able to give the hours to people that really want them. And that's just one way it's negatively affect our economy already.
Because of regulations like that, I had a friend who had two restaurants that actually had to sell one because of that, in order for him to continue to be in the restaurant business. Yeah, Jim, you're so right. We need to look at things differently because if we did things in a manner that helped small businesses prosper, you would have employees that would get better pay and better benefits. But when we make things so difficult, it's difficult for these small businesses to provide any kind of benefits, and then they regulate them and put penalties. If you don't abide by these things, there's some very negative penalties in here. And so all of a sudden, as a small business person, you're almost treated like a criminal. And there's fines. If an employer, there's one of the ordinances regarding PPE equipment. If you don't supply them, there's a fine of $200 each, each time. And, you know, they also want, and this is in the editorial in the, this Sunday, where they want the employees to act as the person requiring customers to come in wear a mask. Well, that's not going to, you know, they're not the police. They're not people that are required to do that kind of work. And that just makes it more difficult for employees to require something like that. Yes. Anyway, at the end of the day, Jim, these, no matter what is being said about them, it's bad for our economy. It's bad for small business, and our economy is driven by a lot of small businesses, and many of them disproportionately are Hispanic small businesses, because we're 48% Hispanic here in Albuquerque and the state of New Mexico.
Yes.
So it really disproportionately affects them. And most of them are small businesses like, you know, hairstylists or, locksmiths or beauty parlors or a local cafe. They're those kinds of businesses. And those are the ones that are really suffering at this time. And they don't need this at all. So I hope people show up at 2:00, Jim. I think it's important that we show the city that we should be uniting as a city instead of dividing as a city, because this is pitting employees with their employers. And that's just not what we ought to be doing at this time.
Well, and Ernie, what we're talking about, no, I mean, you're doing a great job for us, but I also want to appeal to our listeners that you can also contact your city councilors by going into the City of Albuquerque website and go to councilors, and you can get their email addresses. And again, be polite, be thoughtful. But if you're a business owner, express how this may be such a large financial burden to you. And we haven't even begun to touch on the possibilities. Ernie, you just mentioned some things about the regulations. There's going to have to be attorneys hired to fight all of these different things as they're enforced if this goes into place. So you're talking about a huge financial burden. So we've got to take a quick 2-minute break. We are on the phone with Ernie C. DeBaca. He's the president and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. He's told us about a gathering today at 2 o'clock, Civic Plaza, for anybody that wants to stand against the paid sick leave ordinance and possibly talk about also opposing the hazard pay proposal. These are bills that the Albuquerque City Council is putting forth to vote on, and I understand that they're going to vote on the paid sick leave bill today, or at least begin discussing it seriously. So it's really a time for a call to action. Ernie C. DeBaca will be back with us. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are on the phone this afternoon with Ernie C. DeBaca. He's the president and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. Ernie, you're gracious to be here, especially given the fact that you got to be at the you got to be downtown here in about 30 minutes. So, thank you for graciously spending your time with us. I did want to mention that you have a friend, and he's also a friend of this show, a frequent contributor. His name is Steve McKee, owner of McKee Wallwork Advertising, or co-owner. He is a branding expert, and we often talk to him about New Mexico. And I want to read a quote that he repeats over and over. It's almost like a mantra. He says that every political official at every level, municipal, state, federal, any time a politician makes a decision in our state, it should be with this particular goal in mind. It should make New Mexico more competitive to do business on the world stage. And I think I hear you saying this is really, really going to harm small businesses and maybe even put some of them out of business.
Well, and Jim, and I like and respect Steve a great deal. He's a great man. One of the things I want people to understand is that, so this affects our reputation at the city. So if somebody was to consider bringing their business, they want to know what is the environment? What is the business environment here at the city of Albuquerque? This negatively affects that. Not only that, so this ordinance, one of these, this is done without really the involvement of the community, and especially the business community, which it impacts. This is done without anybody having a forum, any public, any committee hearing on this particular bill. Generally, as you know, any legislation that goes through the state legislature or the city council gets referred to a committee where it's heard and people get up and they have an opportunity to say why they support it, why they oppose it. This completely bypasses and is coming straight to the city council. That is so against what we are all about here in the United States. We need to be deliberate. We need to be open. We need to have people participate in the policy process that affects community, the people, and the businesses. And this completely bypasses. And one of the regular paid sick leave is quite a bit similar to the one that was defeated almost 3 years ago by the city voters, not just the city council, not the city council. The city voters actually voted against this, and they continued to try to pound it to us and like saying, well, the voters didn't know what was important. We're just going to go ahead and do this ourselves, and we're going to do it quickly, and somebody can't hear it and object to it. Right now, because of Zoom meetings and everything that's required because of COVID, we cannot really participate even in today's meeting adequately. So it's really the wrong time. It's the wrong way to do things, and it severely affects the reputation of being a friendly business climate here in Albuquerque. So I think another thing I want to mention, Steve, is that, you know, this patchwork of ordinances, you know, where the city could have something different from Bernalillo County, which could be different than Sandoval County, which that is just not the way to do things. You know, if this was really, really important and really good for the state of New Mexico, it should be something that's debated at the state legislature. And that way it would be a one-size-fits-all law that doesn't disproportionately affect one community or pit one community against another. Because you could have offices in several different counties or business localities, and they would have different requirements. So we just got to be careful in how we do things here in Albuquerque and New Mexico. I hope that helps people understand how important it is for these bills not to get passed today.
Absolutely. Jim Williams on the phone with Ernie C. DeBaca, the president and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. We've gone through most of our time together, but I do have an important question before we once again allow you to call our listeners to action, Ernie, and that is, who is pushing for this bill to be passed?
Well, there's two sponsors for this. Ike Benton, Isaac Benton, is a long-term city councilor, and he's been a proponent of this for quite some time. And then a new councilor who replaced Ken Sanchez, who shockingly passed away at the end of last year, and so she was appointed, and so this both of those are the two proponents of this. They're the sponsors of the legislation, and we know there's nine city councilors. I think people that are listening should contact, as you suggest, their city council, let them know that you oppose this in writing, through an email or through phone calls. Show up 2:00 at Civic Plaza. I think we all should be cognizant about how this is done poorly and how it really affects negatively Albuquerque's community.
Oh, man. You have done such a great job for us, Ernie. Ernie C. DeBaca, President and CEO of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce. Ernie, want to get you on here in the next 2 weeks to kind of follow up on this interview, see how it went. We'll, of course, be able to see things on the news and in the journal, but love to talk with you about it directly if we could reach out to you again here in a couple weeks.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Hey, I appreciate you very much, and hope the meeting goes well today at Civic Plaza. Thank you.
Okay, cheers. Cheers, my friend.
All right. We will be back this afternoon with Dr. Brian Nixon. Brian has written a book called Tilt, Finding Christ in Culture. It's now available in bookstores. But Brian has got to be, the way the commercials read, the most interesting guy in the world. So I love to talk to Brian. A few little things I've been doing personally. He told me all about mural art in the city of Albuquerque, and I took the opportunity this past weekend to go and look at some of these murals with Tilt in hand and tried to use some of his techniques to take a look at these paintings and really appreciate them. And so we're going to talk about that when we come back. It'd be kind of fun. Stay with us. Brian Nixon right after these messages.